Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. My name is Hannah Franco Isaacs, and I am delighted to serve as your Director of Religious Education. It is my honor today to be joined by our lay leader, Rosie Hamilton, and our preacher for today, the Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons. We welcome Joseph back to WUF. Joseph grew up as a member of this community, and we are thrilled to have him with us today. We want you to know that you are welcome here, wherever you are, wherever you are joining from, whoever you are welcome here.
In this quiet hour, may our spirits be renewed. In this gathering of friends, may we be ready to extend ourselves to those in need, and with trust to receive the hand that is offered. Please read with me our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Our reading this morning is from the Reverend Teresa Ninon Soto, who serves our Unitarian Universalist congregation in Oakland, California. This is entitled, A Time for the Work. I'm not prepared to hear you say one thing and watch you do another without even mentioning it. I'm not talking about mistakes. You know we all make those. Sometimes we speak too soon and think too little. We worry more about procedures than promises. We let fear and guilt keep our choices and actions small. Those things, common and human, keep calling me forward to different better choices. I'm thinking of a different thing in which you know the right thing to do and spend entire notebooks of calculations on figuring out how not to do it. Or conversely, you give it no thought at all. It's understandable that to learn, the student must be ready. And if you choose not to be ready while the world cries out for your help, choose to linger in indecision and shrug off the human cost, you are wasting the gentle flexibility of grace. And as Frederick Douglass said, using your liberty for unholy license. You must account for this day. Choose justice. You must account for your gifts. Generate love. Your effort in community is a precious resource. Take courage. Move with urgency toward every possibility. Please hurry. Don't stop. The Reverend Teresa Inez Soto.
The Undefeated by Kwame Alexander, illustrated by Kadir Nelson. This is for the unforgettable, the swift and sweet ones who hurdled history and opened a world of possible. The ones who survived America by any means necessary. And the ones who didn't. This is for the undeniable, the ones who scored with chains on one hand and faith in the other. This is for the unflappable, the sophisticated ones who box adversity and tackle vision. Who shine their light for the world to see and don't stop till the break of dawn. This is for the unafraid, the audacious ones who carried the red, white, and weary blues on the battlefield to save an imperfect union. The righteous marching ones who sang, "We shall not be moved because Black Lives Matter." This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unlimited, unstoppable ones, the dreamers and doers who swim across the big sea of our imagination and show us the majestic shores of the promised land. The Wilma Rudolphs, the Muhammad Ali's, the Althea Gibsons, the Jesse Owenses, the Jordans and the LeBrons, the Serenas and the Cheryls, the Reese Whitleys, and the undiscovered. This is for the unbelievable, the we real cool ones. This is for the unbending, the black as the night is beautiful ones. This is for the underdogs and the uncertain, the unspoken, but no longer untitled. This is for the undefeated. This is for you, and you, and you. This is for us.
Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all our voices and all our divisions, building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony.
Maganda Amaga Ako Si Joseph. In Tagalog Filipino, this is our traditional greeting as the sun breaks, which means you are more beautiful than the morning. Hello, West Hills. I appreciate this opportunity to return to share in this Sunday worship with you. Thank you to the congregation, to the ministry team for inviting me. This is a more meaningful experience to me than most preaching opportunities because I grew up in this place. As a second generation Unitarian Universalist, it is good to be with you. As a biracial Asian American and transracial adoptee, it is good to be with you. And as a fellow wanderer and worshiper in our liberal religious tradition, it is good to be with you. As I listened to the call from the Reverend Teresa Soto in our first reading, Time for Work, I thought about the earliest memories I have of West Hills, of traveling to Waldo Lake and singing radical hymns by the fire, co-creating the haunted house in our old Toad Hall, the relationships I built as a young person, as a youth, forged bonds that led me to be more deeply engaged with the personal and the political. It gave me space and it gave me courage to uplift the inherent worth and dignity of every person, regardless of gender, sexual orientation, race, and class. I am so grateful for my upbringing at West Hills. I felt that generating love. I felt us risking and using our liberty, not for unholy license, but for holy license. I felt that moving toward every possibility, it is good to return full circle like the salmon who returns here to the Pacific Northwest. I serve as consulting minister for one of our Unitarian Universalist multicultural ministries called DRUM, Diverse and Revolutionary UU Multicultural Ministries. And at one of our last face-to-face gatherings before the pandemic, we gathered a caucus of Black, Indigenous, and people of color from several congregations. Listening to the stories, we surfaced the grief, deception, and betrayal that some have experienced in our church. And then we listened more. And beneath the ash, we found the ember. We found the ember in the leadership and the organizing of members of our congregations in their incredibly vibrant vision of an anti-racist and multicultural faith. In our lay and professional leadership who strive to work side by side and reach and stretch and rise toward a future that will outlast us. I hope you will reflect with me today on twin questions. What is asked of us today? And what are you on the brink of aspiring to create? How have you dreamed big, faced up to disappointment, and faithfully persisted? It's an honor to share some of my own reflections of being on the brink and the lessons I have learned. Sower of Parables. As a child of the Pacific Northwest and raised in this UU church, I have paid attention to the lessons of cultivation and harvest. Raised among evergreen forests, I thought all places on earth were just as abundant. But as every young person of color is soon taught, I learned that many corners of the world are not. Through prejudice, colonization, misogyny, and corporate greed, We know instead scarcity, want, and exploitation. My path has taken me deep into community, into organizing, into the planting of seeds, seeds of love, seeds of resistance, seeds of liberation, seeds that sometimes I know I will never fully reap. This has shaped my life's intentions and formed my call to ministry to serve on the margins where we might not normally find Unitarian Universalism. 30 plus years ago, I was a 17-year-old in the youth group at WUF, actively rabble-rousing with other young people. Our church had hosted the recent Pacific Northwest Conference and gained notice with a record 200 young people. At the time, our stats showed that 90% of youth would leave the church as young adults. Back then, I was raw, passionate, fueled by burritos. I had my first interaction challenging UU authority. Our district board was handing down new rules unilaterally, and I was part of a group that pushed back on the stereotyping of young people. And in the end, we won the seat and autonomy in decision-making, and youth had a meaningful say. In these early exercises of leadership development, I learned to memorize hundreds of names, spellings, and stories of young people whom I was organizing, and I grew in particular with fellow young people of color, the first iteration of the DRUM Youth and Young Adults of Color Network, many of whom remain beloved colleagues today. I would never trade those years of road trips and couch surfing, foam banks and art activism, cut and paste newsletters. There's a discipline and spiritual practice in the countless hours of forging relationships and trust. It's remarkable to me how we have formed a lasting generation of faith leaders of whom I'm grateful for the struggles and have been through together side by side. The cultivation of trust. Around 15 years ago, when I was on the cusp of ordination, I escaped being one of those statistical 90% and stayed in the UU church. I was able to keep my center through my relationships with peers and adults who kept inviting me in, and in particular, the organizing of other seminarians of color, a group numbering 30, which at the time was more than the number of settled ministers in our church. These colleagues were and still are my community of care who have supported me. I could smell and taste the culture shifting, and I was propelled by it. I was honored to have my preliminary fellowship here in my hometown of Portland, Oregon. And yet it was also one of the lowest points of my young clergy life. I had been contacted by an Oregonian reporter who had a beat on race and culture. She had followed my faith-based organizing in Oregon before I went to Harvard Seminary and my anti-racism work and writings. Yet when the article ran with what I thought was a very unprovocative headline, Unitarian Universalists Find Their Ranks Aren't Universal, which was really referring to being one of the few people of color in the church, I received blowback from several key colleagues. I was sanctioned by the UUA, and I was told by the First Unitarian Church of Portland I was unwelcome. I felt blindsided and traumatized, thrown under the bus. I had contradictory feelings of confusion, humiliation, as well as betrayal. Part of me was very much afraid. I feared for my future livelihood and the loss of the only religious home I've ever known. I was on the brink of being pushed out. And in the end, after much proverbial soul searching, I stayed because I felt profound ownership over my faith, that it was mine to fight for. But I felt the risks and dangers of responding with angry bitterness and a slash and burn response. I decided to try and go through an intentional process of restoration, and I don't mean reverting to some earlier nostalgic relationship. I mean restoring in the sense of a new iteration, a new covenant, drawing from our lived experience and hopefully more meaningful. It is not a state that you can fully engineer, but the process of getting there can be healing and sow seeds of promise for the future. The alternative of walking away, of calling out people, of refusing to invest in our shared humanity means nothing can be sown and the promise is denied. I started by making lists of people to talk to, mentors, colleagues, and friends. And I also made lists of people who trusted friends, let me know, maybe harboring concerns or worse, actively talking behind my back. I reached out to everyone I could. First Church and I agreed to have a listening session with their staff, and I participated in conversations at the UUA. I owned up to what I could have done better, but I also challenged misunderstandings and named assumptions. First Church agreed to covenant with me and recognized me as an affiliate minister, which I served there for 15 years, a relationship that grew stronger and wouldn't have been possible if bridges had been burned or I just walked away. Restoration as a spiritual practice. The ministry has its valleys and peaks. Being UU has its valleys and peaks. Through the years, I went through this and other heartbreaking challenges. In the community ministry I worked, I was fired. I had frustrating disagreements. And as my community ministry grew, particularly with the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, I also experienced being bullied, dehumanized on social media, had to deal with anonymous feedback that sought to disparage me. I felt the burnout and the questioning of my purpose. We all have a front row seat to a whole range of crises and conflicts that can really take a toll on us and even among us. There is a breaking of trust, a trust that is often unspoken and forged through the practice of our spiritual life. This severance of bonds can feel seismic at times, like it can never be repaired. That experience with the UUA and the backlash taught me profound lessons about restoring trust. I have failed and done wrong in my life. I've had to do the hard work of acknowledging my mistakes, of listening to how my actions have affected others, and contemplating my own attitudes and behaviors. I've had to dig deep to listen with more humility, to recognize my ignorance and make new commitments of change and restitution. But what is the promise of restoring broken trust? In this moment of pandemic and politics, climate chaos and racism, it's clear we have broken trust with each other. We have broken trust with the earth. We are now seeing the world on fire, from Portland to Minnesota to Hong Kong. Now more than ever, it feels like our very survival hinges on restoring trust between all living beings. As I've reflected on other difficult moments, large and small, I have sharpened my belief in humanity and in the potential and power of building practices of restoration, of sowing seeds. And there are countless examples that surround me. I hear colleagues and leaders resist the essentializing and demonizing of other people. Strong prophetic voices like Loretta Ross and Grace Lee Boggs, Arundhati Roy, Bell Hooks, Adrienne Marie Brown have rejected the idea that people are disposable, even people who do you real harm. We are encouraged to invest in each and every relationship as though they are necessary for survival, because they are. All around me, I see people approaching neighbors with kindness and optimism, offering grace, and pondering the context that people are in. However hard things are, many work to be the flower in the cracks. Today, as many of you know, I have returned to the Philippines to be close to my partner Amy's family and to build on ministries that were part of my early formation nearly 20 years ago. I recently hosted a group of Kazi Indian Unitarians, many whom I also met as a youth organizer with the church, traveling on foot throughout Northeast India. I've had the occasion to take the train to Penang, Malaysia, to connect with a seminary mentor, and have been building relationships with Unitarians and Universalists across Southeast Asia. As I'm renewing and reconnecting and reflecting on Unitarian Universalism in Southeast Asia, I've come to appreciate more deeply the gifts of our faith, particularly our ability to affirm and promote the highest degree of self-determination and interdependence in our religious life. The faith communities here in Southeast Asia are more fundamentalist in my experience and deeply influential to governance and the way of life in the culture. People's faith reveals the DNA of their society. The fastest growing churches are the far right evangelical Christian and Mormons in the Philippines. Reactionary conservatives are gaining among Buddhist and Muslim communities in Myanmar, Thailand, and beyond. Ideas of democracy, the rule of law, and human rights struggle to evolve under the weight of colonial history and neoliberal capitalism. With authoritarian governments on the rise seemingly everywhere, there is a synergy with these more dogmatic and rigid religious institutions. And yet, like the flower and the cracked pavement, I have found Unitarian Universalist churches grow in extremely impoverished and fascist contexts. Unitarian Universalism models a way of life that is healing, pluralistic, and just. It holds a promise to global interdependence and localized, intentional work for decolonization and just transitions. The tragic murder of African-American George Floyd is eerily similar to one here in the Philippines of Kian De Los Santos, a 17-year-old young man from the slum areas who was caught on CCTV begging for his life from police officers. Kian was caught in the government's war on drugs, and he's heard on camera saying, "Please let me go. I have school exams tomorrow." And then the police executed him, and his family's only hope for survival was extinguished. 30 years from now, my eldest daughter will be 45 and my youngest 42. And I pray they have gained wisdom from building the beloved intergenerational multiracial community. I pray they are boldly living in a time where there are leaders of, where they can be leaders of industry, no hesitation or shame over their talents and visions. I pray they are in control of their bodies, no fear or threat of harm as they determine their own futures. I pray they are tending to their families, chosen and by blood, with care and the resources they need to thrive. But this will not happen by ambition or aspiration alone. We cannot just want or imagine this into being. I've come to believe that the goddess is in the details. A discipline of and spiritual practice of organizing is needed to bring it into harvest. Through one-on-ones and spreadsheets, through understanding our unique self-interests and introducing people to one another, through creating email lists and sending out calendar invites, through doing the best we can with what we have, even when we may not have very much. I'm moved by my experience here in Southeast Asia of the tireless dedication to create, to generate, to restore in the face of terrible oppression and extinction-level events. As Unitarian Universalists, what is asked of us today? In these existential, troubling times, what can feel like a drought of meaning and inspiration, we can serve as a deep well of healing, restitution, and growth. We can and will be restored through building connection and trust. Each time we choose to respect instead of demonize, to be generative instead of extractive, to humanize instead of criminalize, we are living our Unitarian Universalist faith. Our future depends on our capacity to act with such intentions, sowing the seeds in each relationship with discipline and tenderness that will bring new life to bear. It is these webs of existence that hold us, that care for us, that pick us back up and help us to do better. We can share spiritual strength that holds people back from the abyss, turn the corner, and allow all of us to see a vibrant horizon. Thank you for the opportunity to be together with you today. May it be so, and blessed be.
This song says, no matter who you are, No matter where you go in your life, at some point you're gonna need somebody to stand by you.
Thank you.
beloveds, our closing words for this morning's service by the Reverend Sean Parker Dennison. At this moment of ending, may there be a good word, a blessing to help us remember what we have so often forgotten. May the message we need be gently spoken and held in the spaces in ourselves, the fibers that hold all that we need to maintain our gentleness, our courage, our hope. Go now in peace and blessed be.
Carry the flame of peace and love until we